Okay, good morning. We're up to Perek, the last pasuk in Perek Chavav. Okay, the last pasuk in Perek Chavav. Pasuk Yudalit. Okay, we can this. Iyav is responding to Bildad. Iyav is telling Bildad that everything you're telling me, I already know. I'm very well aware that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite. Man is a nothing in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Being that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite, he sees every single imperfection as something significant. And therefore, a tzaddik deserves to suffer. And And therefore, I acknowledge that tzaddik does deserve to suffer. But, the big but, I didn't do anything wrong. I'm still a tzaddik. I did not do anything wrong because there are no imperfections in my actions. And he says to Bildad that if he speaks like this in such a... Okay, but Iyav says to Bildad that I have the ability to express HaKadosh Baruch Hu's greatness and grandeur, his power, much more eloquently than you can. So don't try to tell me anything that I don't already know. I know it, and I can say it better than you. And he gave different examples. Yesterday, the last 2 days, we spent studying different examples of the infinite nature of the depths, and the infinite, the heavens, what takes place in the heavens, and the fact that the Shbaruch Hu suspends the earth, al bulima, Hashem creates clouds, the fact that the clouds do not burst and the rain trickles from the clouds slowly, all different examples of the chokhmah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And now he summarizes his entire speech with the words Pasuk Yudalit, Perek Chava, Pasuk Yudalit, Hen, behold, Ele Kitzos Derachav. What I have expressed in this Perek, in Perek Chavav, is just a small teeny fraction. Kitzos means a small teeny fraction, Derachav Hashem's ways. Umashemetz Tavar Nishmabo. Now, there are two different ways to learn this pasuk, like the Mitzudos. We'll learn the first, like the Mitzudos. Shemetz is a synonym for Kitzos, which means a small amount, repetition. And I have just expressed Shemetz Tavar, a teeny fraction of the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Nishma Bo, has been recorded, has been heard through me. The Ram Givurosov, the awesomeness. Ram means thunder. The thunder of his mighty deeds, Mi Yisponon, that no one can possibly fathom. We've scratched the surface, the tip of the iceberg. We've expressed just a few small little details about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's infinite power. But to fully grasp HaKadosh Baruch Hu's full might, the Ram, the thunder of his might, that's beyond anyone's comprehension. Let's look at the Mitzudos Pasuk Chav Zayin for an elaboration. Everything that I mentioned in this parak, from the beginning of the parak until now, is just miksas derachav, is just a fraction of Hashem's ways, umama'o devar ma'at. And it's just a small, teeny fraction, asher nishmat bo, which has been released. I have let go. I have released from myself just a small, teeny fraction of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's power, ratzulaymar. Hein lo yodanu v'lo yishamanu. I have only made known, and we have only become aware, and we have only heard kiim me'at midrachov, a small amount of his ways, v'lo kulam, and not the entirety. Af lo cholak. He had not even a significant amount. The amount that we have expressed about HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just a teeny, teeny fraction. We have not even touched upon something which is significant. The Ram is the thunder. Af Givuroysav Hanishmoem L'chol L'chol, the mighty deeds that are known to the entire world. Kikol Ra'am, like the sound of a thunder. Mi Yuchol L'hispoinon, who has the ability to understand L'das Mitzvone Haniflos, the hidden wonders Asher Bohem, which are present. V'yaf Ki Anasim Bashmai Mimal, and certainly it's impossible to know about HaKadosh Baruch Hu the things that are done in heaven. Umitachas L'aretz Asher Lo Yudo Om Enosh, which man has no comprehension. comprehension, no way of knowing. What he means to say is, Hine, here he summarizes in this last line before he gives the full summary, Hishmaticha, I have made it known to you, I have made it heard to you, Yoiser Measher Hishmata, more that you have made known to me. In the previous parak, you have criticized me by telling me that I'm not aware of how great HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. Let me tell you, Bildad, you're making a big mistake. I'm very well aware of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's greatness. I'm even more aware than you are. And I have made it known to you, I have expressed in the few lines that I have said, greater things about HaKadosh Baruch Hu than you have expressed to me in the previous parak. Hishmatich, I have made it heard to you. Yoiser Mu'a Measher Hishmata, what you have made heard to me. Ve'adayin, and together, both what I have said, what you have said, lo higati, and certainly what I have said, lo higati, has not reached lechele gadol to a large portion of miniflos Hashem, of Hashem's wonders, and therefore we have to recognize that Kadosh Baruch Hu is much more infinite than we can even imagine. Now this concludes the parak. So what is the summary of this entire? What's the thrust of Eve's words in his response to Bildad? So here the Mitzudah summarizes. So ilam mehamanehahi, the summary, what comes out of this response, ki yiloik al Bildad, he is mocking Bildad. Omar Dvonim Hayiduim Lakol Bildad, what are you telling me? Hashem is infinite. Everyone knows Hashem is infinite. You think I'm a fool? I don't know this. Dvonim Hayiduim Lakol Umiyat Lasabin Floisakol Umiyat. And not only that, this that you've tried to tell me Kadosh Baruch Hu is infinite, you have done a very poor job. Umiyat Lasaber Minifloes Hashem V'Sibu Hu Yoser Mimenu. And now Eve outdoes Bildad by expressing the infinite nature of Kadosh Baruch Hu even more than Bildad. The Omar, and then he goes on to say Sheim Kol Zeh. Despite all this, from the wonders of Hashem, and Bill Eov does not say, and the message is hidden. Eov does not follow through. He does not carry out the message of what he's trying to say. He doesn't say any more. He just says he knows that Kadosh Baruch Hu is infinite, and I know it better more than you. Because this is his way of mocking, by not actually responding and not actually saying, explaining what he means to say. It's part of the mockery. What is it? What do you mean? Ki iluhu oimer lo. It's as if Eov says to Bildad, Ma bikach shalafid roimus hamokim v'shiflos adam yichoshev hamat min hameri l'rov. What difference does it make? What was your thesis? That being that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite, he sees every single minor imperfection, and the small imperfection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is significant, and it deserves punishment. If that's so, now here is this is something which is new. We really had this, what he's about to say wasn't expressed before. Hallo, if that is really true, kol shekein, that may indeed explain why a tzaddik suffers. Tzaddik viralo. But it doesn't explain why Rasha v'toivloi. Adarabah, a Rasha was very evil, whose evil is great, should suffer even more in this world. The kol shekein hu, shemarbis hameri min harasha, the abundance of rebellion that exists in the Rasha, yechoshev lorov, should be considered for Kadosh Baruch, who is very significant, much more significant than the small minor imperfections of the tzaddik, and that would demand that the Rasha be punished in a very great measure. Umazeh, and why is it then so? Lo yishalem lo gemul, a Rasha does not suffer. So Eve is saying something very powerful, that there has to be a parallel, there has to be a balance, there has to be the Rasha v'toivloi equals tzaddik v'ralo. If you're going to prove only one half, and it doesn't fit for the other half of the equation, then that is an indication that your reasoning is flawed. Because the two sides must match. They must balance each other out. You've done an excellent job, he's acknowledging and explaining to me, tzaddik v'ralo. Tzaddik suffers. Why? Hashem is infinite. Hashem's infinite nature sees minor imperfections. Okay, there's going to be punishment. Kol shekein then, a Rasha, who has blatant, open sins, deserves to suffer more. And yet the Rasha does not suffer. The Rasha has a wonderful life. So if that's, it's not going to hold water for Rasha v'toivlo, obviously your explanation is not true for tzaddik v'ralo either. So this, what?
But,
yeah?
There is a benefit. If you would acknowledge that yes, that tzaddik is greatly punished for the smallest infractions,
yes,
and the Rasha is greatly rewarded for the smallest good,
But that's only half of the story.
No, that's the other half.
Okay, so where is the punishment? Very good. The Rasha has to be rewarded for his small good deeds, but the Rasha also has to be punished for his sins.
And the tzaddik has to be rewarded for his good.
But that is exactly the point.
But if both of those halves are left out of the equation.
But that's not a balance then, because the tzaddik is not getting his rewards, just rewards, really.
Yeah.
And the Rosh is not getting his punishment.
Okay.
So that is being left out. But we don't need to focus. We don't need to focus on the reward. Let's just focus on the punishment. If it's true that there does exist such a concept in this world, that a Rosh has to suffer for his sins, then a tzaddik has to suffer for his sins. That demands that a Rosh also suffer for his sins in this world. And we don't find that to be true. So there's obviously a very big problem with this logic. That's the approach. Obviously, there's a lot deeper in this, but that's the basic gist of what he is.
Obviously, that's only half of the picture.
Okay, well, that's he was saying. You can't give me half the picture. You have to give me the full picture. And the full picture you're not presenting. Eve is not looking at Olam Haba. We have to remember that. We Baruch Hashem, we've been brought up with a very healthy hashkafa. We know that this world is only, is just a prozdar, antechamber for the next world. But it's very clear that's not the way Eve looks at this world. Eve looks at this world as a complete world. There has to be in this world schar v'onesh. There's another world. Eve never denies the Olam Haba, Olam HaEmes, where the neshama goes later on. But that's separate. There has to be in this world schar v'onesh. And if we don't find it to be equal for a tzaddik and a rasha, we have a problem. Now, again, that's not our hashkafa. We believe that this world is not the full picture. No, but Eve is not looking at that. Right? That's we know that. That's we know. But that's not the way Eve looks at the world. And any explanation given has to account for why a tzaddik suffers and a rasha does not suffer. And the explanation that Bildad has presented is a very good explanation of why the tzaddik suffers, but doesn't explain why the rasha gets away, that it leaves this world in without any suffering whatsoever, and in fact has a wonderful life all the way to the very end. That is what bothers Eve. Okay, so this is the now, yeah.
Seems that his friends sort of agree with him. That Tzaddik Onesh has to be in this world.
Right. Otherwise, they
why didn't they? Right. So they don't. No one made the argument. At least not the way Rashi and the Mitzvah. So no one made the argument that there's going to be in the next world. That's right. That is correct. Okay. All right. I don't know. Let's see. This.
Don't use that term. Friends.
With friends like these. Who needs enemies?
Yeah. Wait a second, there's another guy that's showing up. He may be worse.
Elihu, yeah.
Small point. The bracha for thunder.
Yes. Shekoch Rosa Mole Oilam.
So we see,
associated with Ram. Okay, very good. Excellent. That we have this association with Ram, it's thunder with Givurosav. The thunder of his great deeds, who has the ability to comprehend. Okay, so we learned the translation of the Pasuk to translate the word Kitsos to mean Miktsos, and the word Shemetz also means Miktsos. If you take a look at the Mitzudos Tzion, he Shemetz in Mashuhu Umeat. Okay, and the Chaim Vatikach Ozni Shemetz Minhu. We had that before, that my ear should hear Shemetz, a small amount Minhu from it. Min Hadover Hahu. And the word that was the word Shemetz. And the word Kitsos, the Mitzudos did not translate, but from the Mitzudos David, it's clear he means Kitsos means Miktsos, a small amount. Rashi has a different interpretation. Pasuk Yudal and Rashi, Kitsos Tirachov, Kalois Uma Otois. Kitsos does not mean a small amount, it means the light things, or Uma Otos, small things. Okay, it's similar. It is similar. Let's look back at the Mitzudos and Pasuk Dal. Okay, he clearly translates the words kitsos as miktsos, a small amount. Rashi again, kalois, lightweight things. Umuoto, small things. Small, insignificant things. What we have expressed, what we have related about HaKadosh Baruch Hu are things which are insignificant, kaviyachal, peripheral, and but the gvuroisof.
Kitsos means edges.
The edge, okay.
Stuff that's on the periphery.
Okay. So, but it's both Rashi and Tosafot saying the same idea. Kalos umuatos lefi shor relative to the gedolos shabo, the great mighty things. Next words of Rashi, uma shemetz dover nishma bo. So again, the Mitzudo says shemetz is a sin, a poetic repetition. Shemetz is small amount, but here Mitzudo Rashi says remes. Okay, shemetz, another word for a hint. And so elik etzos terachav uma shemetz dover nishma bo. And what remes, and uma means we have expressed a small remes, a small hint of the nature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have not touched upon the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We've only hinted to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We've only expressed the remozim about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. My remez, davar, Adam yachol have mif aloisav. What can a person can understand for Kadosh Baruch Hu's ways? Then Rashi gives a third interpretation. Davar acher shemetz kmo l'shamsa, disgrace. And Rashi translates with l'shamsa mean lignus. So there, here, the pasuk would then mean is that Kadosh Baruch Hu does not have any defects. The pasuk would then mean, hen, behold, Eile Kitzos Derachov, we have expressed, related just a fraction of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's infinite ways. Uma Shemetz Dover Nishmabo, have you ever heard any minor defect in HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It's a rhetorical question. Is it possible to uncover a defect in HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Of course not. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is perfect. Hatsur, excellent. Hatsur, Tamim, Olo, Kichol, Derachav, Mishpat. There is nothing called HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not make any mistakes. And then the pasuk concludes that it doesn't seem that Rashi disagrees. V'ram Gevurosav, Miyis, Boinan. So in Sach HaKol we have really three interpretations for the word Shemetz. Either it means a Mashahu, or it means a remez, a hint. We have not even touched upon Hashem's essence. It's only a hint. And the third interpretation is a disgrace. Is there any defect in HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Certainly not. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is 100% perfect. Hashem does not make mistakes. Okay, so this concludes Eov's speech. Now we go to the next continuation. Now Eov is now this is something very different. We've never had this. Every time we finished a speech, there was always someone else who stepped up to the plate to make a presentation. So now at Perichah Zayin, for the first time, Eov is taking it, going for a double dip. Okay, he's going for doubles. He finishes his first speech, and now he makes a new speech. And there is a real break. There's a parsha break because there's an oisamach after the word yisbainan. The mitzudos, he always gave summaries at the end of speeches. Sometimes a speech spanned 2-3 parakim. We had some of the long responses of Eov that were 3 parakim, and the mitzudos did not give the summary until the end of 3 parakim. Here, the mitzudos gave the summary for Perikov Vav, and now Eov begins an entirely new thought, even though no one has spoken up and no one has made a presentation in between. Pasuk Alva Yosef Eov Seis Mishlova Yomar. It sounds like a pasuk in a Balak. So Eov now he continues to lift up. Seis means to lift up. Mishlo his parable. Vayomar Mishlo over here means his speech. Let's look at the Mitzudos pasuk Aleph. By Yosef Eov. Korach, right? Bilam. Vayosef Eov Bireoisoi. Who came first?
They were friends that went together by Paro, right?
That's Enechanan. That's
all three of them.
Right.
Paro.
Yisro, Bilam, and Eov. Vayosef Eov v'se'es mishlo v'yom. He raised up his mashal and spoke. Pa'alf. Bir'oisai ki ein mi'an eloi. Why over here is Eov speaking? We're not going in order. Someone else is supposed to get a turn. That's the pattern of the Sefer until now. So the Mitzudas explains, when he saw, basically he won the debate. They have nothing him what to answer. Eve outsmarted his friends. There was known therefore Hoysif Oil Hardim called her his voice bidivre mashal with parables. The Dubna Magid. He was now the Dubna Magid, the Omar Dvarov, and he said words. Now the mashal will not come until much later, I think in the next parak. The mashal, this that it says here, mashal, a parable, it will come in the next parak. In this parak there are no mashalim, and this parak is just an introduction to the mashal. The mashal who it says later on, Nisiv lo yudo, a pet that was not known by an ayat. An ayat is a vulture. Vultures, they know their pet, they have a certain trajectory. They travel in the sky, but here we have a pet that the ayat, the vulture, does not know, which will be expressed in the next parak. Now, what is that? Rashi Vayosef, Rashi adds some important details about what's going on in the flow of Sefer Yoiv. Omdoi Reyov Me'anois, Kasha Hechicham Elihu. So it seems here that Rashi is learning not like the Mitzudos. The reason why the friends are not responding is because there's something that happened in between. And what happened in between is going to be presented later on. It appears that what the order now is not in the chronology is not correct. There's a new friend that's stepping up, Elihu. Elihu is going to give a speech later on, and it appears Elihu spoke now.
Who is Elihu?
Another friend. It's not really a friend. He was someone who was watching, an observer. There was a person in the audience. As we mentioned many times, it appears that these debates took place in public. People were watching, they were observing, and Elihu was an observer. He was from the media, maybe, right? And he stepped up and he asked some questions and made comments. It appears that Elihu silenced the friends. He spoke to them, either what he said will be presented later on, or privately he spoke to the friends, and the friends were silenced. And ki amdo v'lo anu, because the friends, they stood up, meaning they stood down. V'loy anu, they did not respond od anymore. Again, that's not what the Mitzudos said. The Mitzudos does not make any mention that Elihu over here had anything to do with the fact that Vayosef. There's something that's very bizarre, very difficult. Why is Eve now giving a second speech when no one spoke before? It's not the pattern. You already spoke, Eve. Be quiet. Give someone else a chance. Mitzudos says, no one wants to say anything. Everyone is quiet. When everyone is quiet, so I'll speak up and I'll speak a second and I'll take a second chance. Rashi says, no, there was a speech. The speech here is not mentioned. Elihu spoke. And Elihu convinced the friends that they're giving Eve the wrong advice. They were silent. And now Eve responded, spoke up again. Okay, we'll see a little bit more about that later on. Well, not necessarily. There was another
for the audience that he's responding to.
Something like that. Right? We didn't hear that. That will take place, but it wasn't directed to Eoif. Until now, all of the speeches were directed to Eoif. And Eoif responds. Here there was a speech taking place in the audience. Elihu was speaking to the friends and telling the friends that your approach is wrong. And after Elihu convinced the friends that they were wrong, Eve then went and spoke up a second time. But there was a break. There was a hefsek between Eve's first speech and Eve's second speech. That's not what the Mitzudos seems to say. Mitzudos seems to say that there was no break. It was a continuous monologue of Eve. Vayosef Eve vayoses mishol vayomark. Now, pasuk beis. Pasuk beis is a very important pasuk which sheds light on the entire sefer, at least according to Rashi. He makes a shavua. Very powerful shua. This shua comes from, the same type of shua comes from Yosef and Paro. But there it's used in a very different way by Chazal. Let's take a step back. When Yosef made believe he did not know who his brothers were, he said many times, Chei Paro, by the life of Paro, I swear that you're telling me a lie. You're liars, you're spies, you're miraglim, you're this, you're a bunch of good for nothings. Yosef knew that they were not, they were true, they were tzaddikim, they were his brothers. He knew that they were not liars. He knew they came to buy bread for their father Yaakov. He knew they were not spies. So why does he keep on saying by the life of Paro? Obviously, Yosef didn't think very much of Paro. He didn't have a very high opinion. It's not. It sounds like, you know, not good politics when the president and the prime minister don't like each other. I'm talking about Israeli politics, no?
They don't like each other.
There's problems. Here you have the Melech, Paro, you have the Mishnah LeMelech, Yosef, okay, the two most powerful people in the world. And Yosef is basically mocking Paro. By the life of Paro, if what I'm saying is not true, then Paro should die. Whew, that's pretty, and it's very, and we know the facts that Yosef knows that what he's saying is not true. So he's basically, Yosef is cursing Paro. That's a very shocking thing. Chazal and Farshim don't spend much time on that. What about Kavod HaMalchus? There's such a concept you have to give cover to the Malchus. How is Yosef?
It's a way of sounding sincere without being sincere.
It's a very strange, it requires understanding. Here we have the same thing, but Chazal are not all critical. Here he's referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And despite the fact that he's very critical of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ways, he does not understand why he suffers. He's thoroughly convinced that he has done nothing wrong. He makes a shua by Hashem's life. A person would only make a shua by Hashem's life if he loves HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No one's telling him to do this. This is what HaRashi learns. That the fact, Chazal learned, the fact that he says here in the Pasuk Beis, Chai Kel, by the life of God, by the life of the Ribbono Shel Olam, I make the following statement. That is an indication that he truly loves Hashem. He is not critical of Hashem. All of his harsh words is nothing more than an expression of frustration, a desperation to understand why he suffers, but deep down he believes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just, he is true, and he has an intense love. Lu yaktileni lo ayachel. That's always the post that the Chazal quote. Even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take my life, will destroy me, still it won't make a difference. In the next world, lo ayachel, I will still yearn and hope to come close to his Shechina. And that's again what he's doing here in this pasuk. Chai Kel, by the life of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I swear, Heisir Mishpati, he has done to me injustice. He has denied me my day in court. He has denied Mishpat. He has brought upon me harm that I do not deserve. There is corruption. Vishakai. Now here we have to add words. You have to say as if it says Chai Shakai. The word Chai that appears in the beginning of the pasuk is meant to be repeated before the word Shakai. Just like it says Chai Kel, so too it says Chai Shakai. By the life of Shakai, another name to describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I say Heimar Nafshi, Hashem has made my neshama bitter. Bitter in Shalom Kedin. He has made my neshama bitter for no good reason. Let's look at the Mitzudos Pasig base. Chai Kel, Hareini Nishba, I swear, Chai Kel, by the life of Kadosh Baruch Hu, Asher Heisir Mishpat, Gemul Maasi, he has denied, he has taken away the Mishpat, justice, Gemul Maasai, reward for my deeds. I deserve to have a good life, to be rewarded for my good deeds. Hashem has denied me the good life. He has brought upon me suffering. How has Hashem denied me my reward for my good deeds? He has put me under a bad constellation. He has put me under a mazel that has only given me harm. He has removed himself from being involved in the affairs of this world. Vishakai, the next word cannot be translated alone. It has to be translated with chai. Musav al chai. It goes back to the beginning of the pasuk of the word chai. Loimar. It's as if it says chai shakai. By the life of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Asher Hemer Navshidis repetition, Vukafal Inyan B'miloy Shoynas. Rashi. This is one of the more important Rashis in the Sefer. Rashi Pasig Beis Chai Kel Shavuhi. These two words mean I'm making an oath. I swear. I believe this to be true to my core. Shua Shvuhi Ki Be'emes Heisir Es Mishpati. Hashem has denied me justice. He has brought upon me harm for no reason. Umikan Darash Rebbe Yehoshua Shemei Ahava Ovad Iyav Esamakom. Iyav served HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of love. Why? Because Ein Odom Noider Bechaye Hamelech. No person would swear by the life of the king. Ela Imkein Oyev Esamelech. Yosef was the exception. Yosef was the exception. Obviously, he swore by the life of the king and he did not love the king. Now, this is important, actually, because Chazal, this is where Chazal are always comparing Eoiv to Avraham. Here is the critical difference between the two. Avraham served Hashem out of Yirah. Now, it's not that Avram did not share Hashem. Avram is called Avram Ohavai, my beloved. I'll say again.
Ohavi.
Avram is called my beloved, who I love because Kemayim Panim El Panim. Avraham loved Hashem. Hashem loved Avraham in response. But there's Ava and there's Yira. What is the Ikur? What is the primary emotion? Here is where Chazal make that contrast. Avraham ki ato yodati ki yirei Elokim atov lechasachta spinchas yichitcha mimeni. Avraham's primary form of service was fear. Eof feared Hashem. The pasuk says in the very beginning of the sefer, there was no one in the whole land that was Yorei Hashem. Eof was an ish Yorei Hashem. It's the first perek. He was a Yorei Shemayim, but his primary focus was love, and that's where we have the difference. Kol sheyirosai kodemes lechachmosai chachmosai miskayemes. The ikar is reishis chachma yiras Hashem. There is ava and there is yira. But here we see what happens when Ava and Yira become, when one is Yikar and one is the Tafel. Avraham had Yira, he never questioned Hashem. When Hashem brought upon him the 10 Nisyonos, each Nisayon to some degree was equivalent to the Nisyonos that Eof suffered physical pain, he lost his children and so on and so forth, but Avram also had 10 Nisyonos, and we have to understand that the Nisyonos that Avram on his Madrega were also extremely difficult. Avram never questioned Hashem. He didn't go into a tirade, didn't shoot off 42 parakim of complaint to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to understand Hashem's ways. I've done nothing wrong. Avraham just sacrificed his mind. I don't understand. That's okay. I have faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Eov is not willing to go that far. Eov was critical because I love you, Hashem. And when there's love, then as long as things are going my way, there will be love. When things are not going my way, then we got to call it quits. We have to take a step back, take inventory. What?
That's not a true love. Obviously, if things are going his way, then he loves Hashem.
It's a very fine point.
One, even when he's not going his way.
He still loves Hashem, but hey, you're right. He's not going to rebel. He's not going to rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, "Lu yiktileni lo ayachel." Even if you'll kill me, I will still love you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if the service is based upon love, it opens up in the person's mind questions. Questions are present. They come to the surface. If a person serves Hashem out of Yira, then there are no questions. The questions don't exist. There are many Hasidic stories where people, when they leave this world, and they leave the world when the world is in a very bad state, and they promise their relatives that when they can't come to Shemayim, they're going to take care of everything. We've all heard these Hasidic stories. And then the person dies, and nothing happens. Nothing gets better. And finally, years later, or a time later, the person who went to Shemayim, he comes to his relative in a dream, and the person says, "Didn't you tell me that when you get to Shemayim you're gonna settle all the problems?" So he says, "In Shemayim I have a different perspective. There's nothing wrong. Everything is fine. This is the way it's supposed to be." How can I say that? Well, when you have a different perspective, when you're in Shemayim, you see things differently. So that's the difference. When there's Yira, there are no questions. When there's Ava, there are questions. What's the bottom line? The bottom line is the same. The bottom line is, I'm part of the team. I'm yours, Hashem. But it comes out in this fashion. And here is one of the critical ingredients to reach that conclusion. Chai Hashem, he had a love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the Ikar. And that's why he had the questions. Okay, let's go further in Rashi. Okay, that's what Rashi says. Now let's go to Pasuk Gimel. Ki, now what is it? Ki kol od nishmasi vi veruach eloka be'api. This is just a continuation. I love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. My love HaKadosh Baruch Hu will continue while I exist. While my kol od nishmasi, the, as long as my neshama is in my body, the ruach eloka be'api, and the spirit of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in my nostrils, vayipach ba'ap of nishmas chaim, as long as I'm alive, I maintain what I said in pasuk beis. What did I say in pasuk beis? I swear that I have done nothing wrong. I swear that I am a tzaddik. I express my love to Hashem through this oath, but I also maintain my position. I have done nothing wrong, and Hashem has brought upon me harm for no reason. And the only explanation is, he has abandoned the world to the power of the mazalos. That is my logical conclusion. Pasuk Gimel in the Mitzvot, Ki Kol Od, Asher Kol Zman Sheti and Nishmasi Bi, as long as my neshama is within my body, Veruach Chaim Me'elokai Yeh Be'api, and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils, I maintain my position. Rashi, Pasuk Gimel, is there a Pasuk? Is there a Rashi on Pasuk? Okay, Pasuk Dal, next Pasuk. Im Tidaberna Sifosai Avla, Ulishani Im Yege Rimiya. My entire life, I maintain my position that I have never spoken. I have never spoken deceit, and my tongue has never expressed. Yagi means to express deceit. Two different words. Avlan Ramiya, as far as I know, my limited vocabulary mean exactly the same thing. Let's take a look at the Mitzvot Pasuk Dalit. Im Tzaberna, Musav Lamala. Okay, this is going back. This Pasuk Gimel, Pasuk Dalit is a return to the beginning. What does it mean? Loimar. Oine Shvua Yelai. May the punishment of the Shvua be upon me. May I suffer the consequences of perjury. Alai Asher Kol Yimei Chayai, Im, all the days of my life, Im Tidaberna Sifosai Avla, L'Hisloinein Bechinam, if I ever complained for no reason. O Im L'Shoni Yidaber Rimiya, What would be the deceit? Lahatzik olaya sadin minasaf ulchutz im ki libi lokeini choshev. I'm not a faker. Eev is saying here, it's very easy for me to listen to your advice and to confess. That's what the friends have been telling him all along. Just confess, face the reality, confess you've done a sin. Eev says, I swear that I'm not a faker. If words come out of my mouth, they are the truth. If I'm going to say that I've sinned, then I have to tell you that I'm a liar, because deep down in my heart I do not believe that I have sinned. Therefore, it would be deceit on my part. It would be imtidaberna sefase avla. My lips would speak falsehood. My tongue would express deceit for me to confess and admit that I have sinned and I'm deserving of my suffering, because deep down I know that I did not do anything wrong, and I swear this to be true.
If I
what avera?
Tell you the truth.
My
that I said I did an avera.
That would be an avera. That would be an avera. Okay. Im ki libi lo ken yichash kemer lo etzak bechinam v'loy oy debrima. I'm not going to cry out bechinam v'loy oy debrima. I'm not going to admit bermiya deceit. I'm not going to say lies. I sincerely believe that I have done nothing wrong. Okay. Pasuk hey. He continues. Chalila lina. Chalila here means chulin. It is mundane to me. Im atstik. Eschem, if I will make you righteous. What do you mean I'm going to make you righteous? I'm going to tell you that you're right. All of you, my friends, I you're right that I've committed sins. That would be, far be it to me, from me to admit to you, to declare, to make you feel good by confessing and giving in to your approach. Ad egvon till I die, lo oser tumasi, until my death, I will not remove tumasi mimeni, my innocence, my sincerity. Let's look at the Mitzvot Pasuk Hey. Cholila li chulin uginai huli. It is mundane. It is removed. Ginai, it's disgusting to me. Im oimer b'rimiya, if I will admit through conceit, sha'atem tzadikim b'divreichem, that you're right. V'hadini mochem. And you are, and the truth is with you. What is the thrust, the thesis of the friends? Ki hein hirshati, that I have sinned. You keep on telling me over and over, you have just admitted already. Admitted already that you're a sinner. Ki hoil since ulavavi lo kein yachshayv. Since I know deep down in my heart that I have not sinned, lo adaber emia. I'm not a phony. I'm not going to falsely confess to a crime I did not commit. Ki ad amos, and I'm telling you, nothing's going to change. Don't start telling me, start forcing me, because this is going, I'm going to maintain my position till my death. Ad amos li osir tumasi mimeni, I will not remove my innocence. My innocence from myself. L'daber emia bepev l'belev, to say something that I do not believe to be true. Rashi pasik hey im atzik eschem im oimer hadini machem lechayveni. I'm not going to make you righteous. You would love for me to hear me say you're right. I'm a sinner, and you're tzaddikim. Everything that you've said is just correct. I'm not going to do that. Lo aser tumasi lo ode l'dvechem. I'm not going to admit to your words lo mas she'eni tam. I'm not going to admit to your words to remove my tmimus. See, it seems that Rashi is learning a little bit different than the Mitzudas. Also, to most, I'm not going to. Let's assume they say the same thing. I'm not going to take away my innocence.
Deny my
innocence. I'm not going to give in to you. Pasig vav.
I'm actually saying a little different. I'm saying I'm not going to admit to you or agree with you that I am not a tam.
That's what Rashi's saying. And the Mitzvah is saying, I'm not going to take away my sincerity. I'm not going to make myself into a faker. I will not. According to the Mitzudos, Loi Osir Tumasi means I'm not going to make myself into a phony. I am a person whose nature is true to your word. And therefore, what's the consequence of this? I'm not going to confess to a crime I did not commit. According to Rashi, it's much more direct. I'm not going to say that I'm not a tam. I'm not going to say that I'm a Rasha. I'm not going to say that I've done an aver. So according to Rashi, it's more direct. It's a repetition. Exactly the same. According to Rashi, it's the exact parallel between the first part and the second part. Chalili im atzik etzchem. I'm not going to admit to you. Well, it's not exactly a perfect parallel, but it's I'm not going to make you. I'm not going to admit that to you by saying that I'm a sinner, and I'm not going to say that I'm a rush. I'm not going to remove for myself my innocence. According to the Mitzudos, it's a little bit more indirect. I'm not going to make myself into a person who I am not. Thus, what will be the consequence of remaining true to myself? I'm not going to confess to a crime I did not commit. Okay, now we go to Pasik Vav. Bitzidkos. Now he expands. Bitzidkosi hechazakti. In my lifetime, I took hold of righteousness. My entire life, I always seized the path of righteousness. V'loy ar peha, I never let go. My entire life, I never let go of the path of righteousness. V'lo yecheraf levavi miyomoy. Yecheraf here means to loosen, according to the Mitzudos. I never loosened my heart all of the days of my life. My heart was continuously strong in my choice of choosing the path of righteousness. So now you're telling me, at the very end of my life, I should abandon this approach of righteousness and become a Rasha and be false to my beliefs and confess the things that I did not do? Let's take a look at the Mitzudos Pasuk Vav. The good things that I've done in my life were not just done by accident. I didn't just be in the right place in the right time. I deliberately chose a life of righteousness from the very beginning, and it was hard work. Ki hechazakti ba bechoizek raf, with great strength. V'lo nesati lo harifyon. So Rashi in Mitzudas is telling us what yecharaf, which is a very difficult word because it normally means to curse. Okay, here he said yecharaf here means to loosen. Rifyon. It comes from the word rifyon, resh pei. I did not loosen. I never weakened. V'lo nesati lo harifyon. I never allowed my heart to become weakened in my conviction that that's proper to choose the path of righteousness. Umiyomai, and all of my days, I did not turn my heart from this choice. Rashi pasig vav, bitzid kasi hechazakti, Loimar she'eni shani tzadik. I've always maintained. Now Rashi is saying something entirely different. Rashi is not saying like the Mitzvahs. Rashi is telling us, is discussing just what taking place the last year. Eve at this point was 70 years old. According to the Mitzvahs, he's telling us that 70 years of my life, or 69 years of my life, or maybe it was 71 at this point, I'm not exactly sure, whatever it was. But for all the years of my life, I was always, from the day I was born until 70 years, until now, I was a life of righteousness. Rashi is not saying that. Rashi is saying the arguments that have been presented for the last 26 parakim, that I've always maintained in my position has always been innocent. What do you plead? Do you plead innocent? Do you plead guilty? You want to do a plea bargain? You want to have some type of deal? No! My plea remains the same throughout the entire trial. This mock trial that we're having here with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and my position, Shloima Shani Tzadik, Lo Yechraf Levavi, Oisi Miyomai Mikol Derech Umida. So here, Miyomai has no choice but all my days. I never, let's assume, mean the same word, weakened. My heart was never weakened. It never weakened me. Mikol Derech Umida Shenohakti Biyomai, Vial Korcho Yihi Kirosha Oivi, and therefore my, and this leading in, that's what Rashi does many times in these psukim. Rashi in his parish in Eiv, always when he explains one pasuk, he leads in the parish of one pasuk into the next pasuk. So very, this is a style, took a long time for me to pick up, but you see it over and over, at least in Rashi and Eiv. You don't see this in Chumash. Rashi and Chumash very rarely, if ever, and when he's writing, when he's explaining one pasuk, he already begins in that one pasuk to lead in to be mefaresh the next pasuk. But this he does very commonly in Eiv. And let's read the next pasuk to get appreciation of what he's trying to do here. Yehi pasuk zayin, yehi chirasho oivi, umiskoimimi ke'avol. Therefore, I take what you're saying to me seriously. You're my enemies. I'm not a politician. When someone attacks me, I don't say, "Oh, you're such a nice guy. We have just a little disagreement. We look at things differently, and we agree to disagree." If you disagree with me, you are my arch enemy. It is a declaration of war. That means. That means I take what you say very, I take this argument, this debate very seriously. This is not just a show. How we always say many times, you have to know how to be diplomatic. You have to have respect with the person that you disagree with. Eve is saying this is not politics. We're dealing here. We're touching upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the purpose of creation, the purpose of life. This is not a matter that I take lightly. If you accuse me of doing an avera, and I believe I have not done anything wrong, and therefore I do not deserve to suffer, I'm not just going to say, I respectfully disagree with you. I don't respectfully, I disrespectfully disagree with you. That's really what he says. That's exactly what he's saying. Why do you disrespect? Because I take it very seriously. And it's so true. Something which you believe in, you don't play nice. You get dirty. That's the way it is. Therefore, yehi chirasho oivi. Anyone that disagrees with me is, number one, is going to be called an enemy. And number two, he's not just an enemy, he's an evil enemy. He's a Rasha. The evildoers. Umiskoimimi, those people who rise up against me to accuse me of doing things I did not do. Ki avol is a corrupt person. Avol is a synonym for a word oivi, a Rasha. I mean, it's really one word which combines the two together. A Rasha and oivi. Let's look at the Mitzvah Pasuk Zayin. Pasuk Yihi Harasha. Midas Harasha Veho Avol. Reim Heim Royim heim be'enai, are evil in my eyes. At shani mekalel oivi, to the point that I'm going to curse them. V'hakom olai l'ra'ah, and anyone that rises up against me l'ra'ah, shuhu yeh rasha v'ovel, he'll be a rasha, and anyone that rises up against me l'ra'ah will be in my eyes an evil man and a corrupt person. Ki kol kach, here is the key words, it's emphasized in the parish. Ki kol kach adov ra be'enai, at shetechoshev l'klola. I consider it to be a curse.
This is a very black and white
approach to life. Exactly right. We live in a world where we're trained anger management and social skills, to learn how to learn. You have to agree to disagree. He's saying that's true when it comes to matters that are not important, but matters that are important, then that's not the way it is. Then you are as vohev besoifer. It says this about talmidei chachamim. Nasim oyavim ze lo ze. Talmidei chacham, when they argue sugya daf gemara, the gemara says, I forgot the pasuk in Maaseh, they become enemies. They become enemies ze beze, but vohev besofa. It's the name of a place in the Masos, but at the end there is love. At the end, when the matter settles, then they come back together and they are the best of friends. But until they reach the emes, each clarity, nasim soinim zeloze. They those are powerful words. They're enemies, because when something means something to you, if the Torah, the emes, the truth of Torah means something to you, then it opens up emotion that we don't have when it comes to trivial matters in life. You want to fight about what color should we paint the walls? Okay, so there's no point in getting into a heated argument. When it comes to Olam Haba, when it comes to understanding Kadosh Baruch Hu, Torah Mitzvos, these things are important.
Well, I have to say, I respect the other point, the other person's point of view.
What?
It's not shy enough.
Right, you can't respect the point of view because that's a contradiction to my way of life. And that's what he's saying. It's powerful stuff. I'm not going to respectfully disagree with you. I take this very seriously. Pasiches. Ki aripari, is there positive Rashi over here? No Rashi. Ki pasiches. Ki matik vas chonef. Now here he says something which is very interesting. Ki matik vas chonef ki yivtsa. Ki yeshel eloka nafsho. He's saying something according to the Nesilas and Rashi. He's introducing something new. It's hard to find something new that we haven't learned already, you know, an idea, but this is definitely something new. If he is bothered by the following question, if it's true, and he believes, that there is no such thing as Hashkocha Pratis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he wound up a clock and he stepped away, and everything depends upon Mazel. If that's the case, why should a person even bother being a tzaddik? Until now, he's just addressing, I'm a tzaddik, and I suffer for no reason, and there are Rishoyim that have wonderful lives, and they don't suffer. That's not fair. Okay, fine, that's not fair. Let's put that aside. It's right, the world is not fair. But being that there is no such thing as Hashkocha Pratis, let's talk about the future. Let's not harp on the past. Let's plot a path for the next generation. Being that there is no Hashkocha Pratis, and righteous people will anyway suffer, and Rishoyim will prosper, so why bother being a Rav Tzaddik? Why bother if no one is watching, if you can get away with it? You might as well enjoy this world. No one's watching, go behind closed doors, do any other you want to do, because anyway there's no Hashkocha Pratis. That would be the logical conclusion to plan for the future. Most of Sefer Iyov is focusing on the past. I am suffering. Why have I suffered? Why do I find myself in this situation? But we're now focusing on the future. But taking the ideas that Eve has expressed and the friends have expressed, let's now plan for the future. Why bother? What's it all worth? So Eve says something here very profound, very powerful. That's really why it appears under the heading of Chai Kel. I love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lu yiktileni lu yiktin lo yachal. Eve says, I believe in Olam Haba. I believe that's the way at least the Metzudah says. I believe this Olam Haba, and in Olam Haba, Rishoyim have no chelak; they have no portion.
You said it before. You said it was
Gehenna. Okay, there are different hints that he believes, but the only thing that he wants to understand what he believes is that there still must be reward and punishment in this world. This world is a complete world. There is reward and punishment. And then, besides this world, is also Olam Haba. You can only merit Olam Haba if you're a tzaddik. you're not going to get admission into the next world. So even though my conclusion is there is no such thing as Hashgacha Pratis, and it doesn't make any sense why the tzaddikim suffer, but I'm not advising anyone to be a Rasha. My advice to mankind is be righteous and complain and suffer and complain. You could complain, but be righteous. Because if you're not going to be righteous, what's going to happen when your life is over and you come to the next world? You're not going to be accepted in Olam Haba. Will there be reward and punishment in Olam Haba? Seemingly no. That's what he seems to be saying here at this point in time. It's a new slate. It's a new world. But you're not going to get entry, you're not going to get admission unless you're at tzaddik. So in no way do I mean to advise people to sin. Let's see what it says. Kimat tikvas chonev. Chonev is another word for a rasha. So many words, a flatterer. We had here the rasha, my enemy, the avol. Now he has another word, a chonev, a flatterer. Mat tikvas chonev. What benefit will the rasha have? Ki yivtza, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu separates his neshama from the guf. Yivtza means to break, to shatter. Here he refers to death. What will benefit will he have at the moment of shattering of death? When he explains, ki yeshal, yeshal means to remove. So when he removes, Eloka Hashem, nafsho his neshama. He's not going to have any benefit if he continues to live a life of riches in this world. Let's look at the Mitzvot Pasik Ches. Kima tikvas ko'imer. What he means to say, as we said many times, whatever the Mitzvot says ko'imer, it means it's a stop sign. It means he's going to add a lot more into the pasuk than it actually says. Af ledati, he's making now a new speech. There's a very significant breakpoint here. Af ledati, even according to my opinion, shehakol moser biyad mareches Hashman. I swore to this. I made a shavua that this has to be the case, because things don't make sense. The Hoya Katsadik Karasha, and Sadiqim and Rishamim, this world, are in the same lot. It's potluck. It's all mazel, what happens to you in this world. Im kol zeh, nevertheless, ein livchar. I'm giving you everyone advice. Everyone in the audience, listen to my advice. Ein livchar berasha, beresha. Don't choose a life of evil. Why? Ki maya tikvas rasha. Because what's going to be when the rasha dies? Asher yigzol, who is asher yigzol anoshim, the rasha who steals from other people. That's called the chonif. The chonif is a person, he's describing here the one who steals. He steals the minds and the hearts and the possessions of other people. Kasher yosir eloka es nafsho mimenu. When his soul is taken from him. And he comes to the next world. Now this is already leading into the next pasuk. He's leading to the next pasuk. Kiat tzadik, because in the next world, the one who lived a life of righteousness now has hope. Kiat tzadik yikave el ta'anug hanafshi. The tzadik now will yearn for spiritual delight. Aval harasha, but an evil man when he dies, el ma yikave, what will he yearn for? What's he going to have in the next world? So this is his advice to the next generation. Let's take a look at Rashi, Pasuk Ches. Ki ma tikvas chonef, ki lomo eheye rosha v'gazlon. Why should I be a rosha and a gazlon? Mas soifel shol rosha hagoizel mamon. What is the end of the rosha who steals mamon? Ki yeshel ki yashlech hamokoy mesnafsho me'olof. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu removes the neshama from his body. He explains, Lashon Shal Nelech, remove your shoes. The Noshal HaBarzel, and the Barzel, the top of the axe, the iron of the axe, fell off the handle, separated. What hope does he have? Okay, Pasik Tes, Hatzako So Yishma Kel, Ki Savo Olav Tzara. Now, he's jumping back now to this world. Besides the fact, it's very complicated. Besides the fact that in the next world, because the next world is, let's take a step back. Is there something called prayer in the next world? Well, we learned yesterday, absolutely yes. There is something called prayer. Because that's why people go to the graves of tzaddikim, because according to one opinion, that we ask the tzaddikim to go in shemayim and be mispal on our behalf. So there definitely is something called prayer in the next world. If you want to continue, this is not what the Mitzvah says, not what Rashi says, but let's just continue on that thought. It's not so far-fetched to say this Pshat in the Pasuk, that what's going to happen to the neshama when he leaves, when his body, his neshama leaves his body and goes into the next world, and now he finds himself in the Olam HaEmes. What is he going to do in the Olam HaEmes? There's prayer. There's a time of prayer in the Olam HaEmes. If he lived a life of wickedness in this world, Hashem will not answer his prayers in the next world. Hatzaka so yishma kel. Will HaKadosh Baruch Hu listen to his prayers then? Ki sava olaf tzara. When he finds himself in the next world in a state of difficulty, we think Olam HaEmes is bliss. There are activities. There are activities up there. You know, there are ball games. There are ball games, and if your team is not winning, if your team is not winning, it's an ace tzara. What do you do when your team is not winning? You go to the back and you smile. There's an ace tzara. There are things we have no clue. We always say no one ever came back to tell us what's going on. But there are definitely things going on up there, and we have to prepare in this world. We're preparing the tools in this world for what's going to be in the next world. And if a person lives a life of riches in this world, forget about punishment. Schar v'oinish. Put all of that aside. Forget about what kind of life you're going to car you're going to drive in this world. What kind of house you're going to live in this world. Forget about all that. What if you're going to live a life of wickedness? You're not going to have the tools to prepare for what you're going to need in the next world. That's what it seems to say. You have a question? Yeah.
Why is the Russia being punished in Olam Haba?
Well, no, we're not to that.
No, wait. Because of Ritzon Hashem. If the Ritzon Hashem is that he should be a Russia.
No, there's no such thing as the will of Hashem in the person. Every person has our emuna has bechira chavshes. There's no such thing. Hashem wants him to be a rasha. You choose what you choose your path in life. You should let us a little bit further. Let's see over here the mitzudos in this pasuk. Hatzakas the pasuk test. The mitzudos says something a little bit different. Hatzakaso the im. Now he's going back to this world. According to the mitzudos, we're coming back to this world. He's continuing in his advice to the next generation. Folks, for me it's too late. I'm a goner. But let me give you advice. My advice is, still and all, even though you see that I suffer, and everything in this world is just a chance, it's just mazel, don't live a life of wickedness. Because in this world, there is still a possibility, I believe, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can interfere with the mazalos. Hashem created a world, according to Eve, this mistaken understanding, and the world, Hashem distanced himself. He went away on vacation, he wound up the world and ran away. But if Hashem wants, if he receives a distress signal, Hashem has the power to come back and interfere. For me, it didn't work. Intervene. For me, Hashem, he doesn't like me. So for me, he's not going to intervene. But maybe one of you, my children, one of the people listening in the audience, maybe you might find yourself in a situation like me, where you're going to have trouble. Maybe Hashem will come back from vacation, intervene, and fix your problem. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes back and he finds that you're in prison because you're a Rasha, because you've done horrible averos, he's not going to listen to you. So even if you want to have a chance of having a good life in this world, it's not kedai to be a Rasha. It's not kedai. That's what he says. And let's see the mitzvahs inside. Hakitzakoso v'im l'tikvas tanugi haguf. And if you want to enjoy this world, let's say a person doesn't, it's too complicated to talk about what's going to be the next world. Let's be practical. You can have a good life in this world. So you look at me, and you say, well, everything is chance. Okay, that's true, but v'chi kishayovay lov tzara yishma el tzakoso l'maltoy mimenu to save him from his problem. Now, what do you mean? But didn't you say that in this world there is no divine intervention? No, I never said that. All I said was that in this world there's mazel. But I acknowledge that if Hashem wants, he can change your mazel. V'chibavur risho, due to a person's evil deeds, yishadeid Hashem es hamarocha, asher lo yaseh, akadosh baruch hu V'chibavur risho, yishadeid Hashem es, yishadeid Hashem es samarocha? Will HaKadosh Baruch Hu it's a rhetorical question. Will he intervene with the Marocha, with the Mazalos? Ashaloyase af bavur atzadik v'noki. And we have to really take this in connection with the next pasuk. The tzadik and the noki, referring to himself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu very rarely intervenes. But, and therefore, al achas kama v'kama, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is reluctant to intervene for the Rasha. But at least you'll have a chance. That's what he means to say. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu was reluctant to intervene on behalf of the Tzaddik, Allah has come, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be even more reluctant to intervene on behalf of the Rasha. But if you won't put yourself on that side of the fence of a Rasha, but you put yourself on the side of the fence of a Tzaddik, at least there'll be more of a chance that he will be willing to intervene and assist. Okay, this really goes on to the next pasuk. It's very late, so we'll continue to pick this up again more tomorrow.